Thank you, Madam Mayor and members of council. The item for the study session this evening is the Army Corps of Engineer flood study. We have a gentleman from the Army Corps of Engineers, and I'm going to turn it over initially to our Director of Public Works, Sina.
Hello. I'd like to start with describing the subject for you. This is a River de Pierre watershed, upper River de Pierre segment, flood control and damage reduction effort by a joint effort by the University City Army Corps of U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and MSD, and I'd like to go over the history of the problem with the council. The problem existed since the 1950s. And in the, I think in the 70s, it was recognized as a problem, and there was some U.S. Congress authorization and action for a study and design to be completed to solve the problem. The River de Pierre watershed, I included a map, the colored map in front of you. This was information that I added to the materials today for your review. The watershed, as you can review, we're on the upper part of it. It's a the University City watershed eventually flows into into a tunnel under within the city of St. Louis under Forest Park Parkway, and actually it's Vernon, and then it eventually flows into Forest Park, and then it meanders a few times there, and then toward the southern boundaries of Maplewood, in the pretty much toward the center of the map in front of you. There are some other branches that join it from the Deer Creek watershed, and it becomes an open channel again, and then it flows pretty wide and open into the eventually the Mississippi River around the boundary of City of St. Louis, the southern boundary of City of St. Louis with the county. We receive our flow from our west and north into University City from the areas of within the municipalities of Olivet and Overland and Veneta Park, Balnor, Henley Hills, Pagedale, all the northern areas. Any increased imperviousness in those areas and new development affect us for generating more flow that needs to run through University City within the capabilities of our channel. The channel is an improved channel within University City. At some sections, this work was done by MSD at some point, and the channel was concrete lined, and its width is increased around the Hafner apartment areas, and then it goes into another flows into again a natural creek and meanders a few times and flows along Wilson Avenue, where we had our a big disaster in 2008 with casualties, and the the 1980s study initially called for these types of structural channel improvements that was implemented upstream of the Hafner Court apartments for a longer reach. I think that work at some point stopped, and then its authorization might have expired. And then in 2004, University City restarted it and signed a cost-sharing agreement with the U.S. Army Corps to design those solutions, the structural solutions for improving the channel and reducing damage, flood damage, implementing a flood warning system, and even actually building a hiking, biking trail on top of one of its banks. And this design agreement was, at the time, the design of this project was authorized by the Water Resources Development Act of 1990. So it was, it had a federal approval, and there was a cost share for University City. We committed for the 25% of its total cost, which was $625,000 at the time, and. I've seen some work on it, and actually MSD was in it with us even then. And MSD, we paid the Corps for that design study and submitted those to MSD. MSD reimbursed us for a portion of that cost back then. In 2008, 2009, the 2008 disaster happened, and. Then Army Corps was reviewing the problem, and they found that the structural solution, which is the channel improvements and the related work, was not an acceptable solution because it induced downstream flooding, and so we had to change gears. And the alternative solution was a flood buyout solution, and that is called a non-structural damage reduction effort. And this also includes flood proofing of structures within the determined flood plain. Since this was a change of a solution, then it needed to be restudied. So the design actually had to stop, and we had to go back to the study stage. And there is a related general reevaluation report that is completed by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers that is. Pretty much this study that is necessary to then redesign the effort as a non-structural solution and in order to be able to start the buyouts. But this is the way to do it if we want or if we would go after federal funding. There's no guarantee that there will be federal funding, but in the absence of this study, the completed study, we cannot apply to federal funding for the buyouts in cooperation with the Army Corps of Engineers. There are other methods that we are currently using, that is the Federal Emergency Management Agency's funding that will still be available. And we have completed buyouts using their post-disaster funding after the 2008 disaster. And eventually, first it was, I think it was about two properties, and then there was a bigger effort that was 26 properties on Wilson Avenue. And then recently, in 2014, we got another one for three properties on Wilson Avenue. They just completed in 2015. Our application has a good chance of being approved, and that is for one property. For 2016, we submitted a notice of interest again on it for the Hafner Place apartments, but that the FEMA funding available for it is in small increments and small quantities, so it would take years and years to complete a buyout program for it. Now the in 2012, the city got back on the table with the Army Corps pretty much, and we provided the missing funding to be able to restart the study, and that was to resolve a cost share imbalance for it, because since we were not participating, the study could not proceed. And once we did that, the Army Corps was able to evaluate the economics of the now the non-structural solution, which is the buyout. For that, the entire reach of the channel within University City from I-170 all the way to the pipe entrance under Vernon along the main channel. This is the main channel, so it's not the northeastern channel that goes through that comes from Balnor, and I think it is the eastern part which goes under flows under Kingsland. This is the main channel, and along this reach the U.S. Army Corps determined a certain area, and certain frequency of these the flood incidents happening within that area as the most the highest benefit cost ratio solution. This solution gives us a benefit to cost ratio, which in this case the benefits become the reduced damage to residences, and the cost is pretty much the cost of acquiring them. And the benefit cost ratio of this the reach that is under consideration right now, it is from the 82nd Boulevard, roughly to Purdue Avenue. This area is its benefit cost ratio is 2.1, and so benefit cost ratio of 2.1 means that we will be eligible for federal funding in the future to use U.S. Army Corps participation on an eligible project. I'd like to refer you to the second map. That's an aerial map that shows the different areas that were studied. The Corps looked at different different frequencies of incidents, the flood incidents, which are the 5-year area and the 10-year flood area, 25-year area, and 100-year flood areas. A 5-year flood area means that there is a 20% chance of this area being inundated by 1 foot or more. In the case of a flooding incident, that much inundation in each year, pretty much. And so the 5-year 5-year floodplain was the one that had the benefit-to-cost ratio of 2.1, which is outlined within the green zone on your map. I don't have street names on it, but pretty much the north-south corridor in the middle of your map is Hanley, and the west-to-east the roadway around that. Pretty much around the center of the map that intersects with Hanley is Olive. And so this includes the area from on the upstream end about Hafner Court Apartments all the way down to the downstream end, pretty much the where the flow enters back into from open channel into an enclosed pipe at about... To the south of Vernon and Kingsland intersection. Within this area, we have about 94 residential structures. Four of them are multifamily. Those are pretty much the Hafner Court Apartments, three buildings, and then the Westover side on the east side of the bank, and then the rest of it within the green area, there are 90 residential structures in economic update of 2013 provided by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers after we resolved our cost share imbalance with the Corps, we paid our share, and the Corps completed this study for us, and they found that the flood proofing within that study was not a viable non-structural solution. Yes.
Pollack. So does that mean that elevations, building elevations, are not viable?
Was it, please, Sean. Yeah, so
the question was building elevations, whether those would be viable or not as a non-structural solution, even though it requires structural means to get to that point. Obviously, with this, when you're trying to take and physically displace individuals from homes and then ultimately structurally modify those homes to get them to a suitable elevation to be able to withstand the flood elevation that's been determined at that point, one of those areas that you would evaluate through the economics ultimately would flush out to be cost prohibitive, just from the standpoint of trying to take 90 homes. So when you look at the economics of what is the best non-structural solution that would be available, buyouts was that was determined from the 2013 report. Now, with that said, that is the preliminary information that we had from 2009 from a value engineering study that had been done by the Corps in conjunction with city officials, community members, and through that process, there was information that was brought to the Corps of this is the preferred path that we would like to look at. If we can't look at a structural solution of modifying the channel for 2.5 mile long stretch, putting that into a manner that would carry additional water through it to alleviate the flood problem. The problem is that it transferred. It may have solved the problem within this project reach, within the community, but it transferred the problem downstream, and so just carried the flood problem, transferred it downstream. So,
which is what we're getting right now, transfer from some other place into our neighborhood.
Well, and unfortunately, that is, that is that's a systemic problem just in urban communities. So with that, I mean, the benefit here is that Congress had heard constituents in the past that had a flood problem, and as a result, Congress responded and provided the opportunity for the Corps to come in and evaluate a flood risk management solution, how to reduce flood risk. So through this, I mean, when we transferred from the structural solution to this non-structural effort, all I can tell you is that from 2009, based on input, based on running the HECRA or the hydrologic modeling within this area, running the economic evaluation and such, it was determined that buyouts would be the best solution. Now, as we would step through it, a future study process, obviously we need to document. Part of that documentation has taken place, but there's additional documentation that would need to be run. So can I sit here today and tell you, look you and say emphatically, buyouts is the direction we would go? No, I can't tell you that. But that's where we would, that's why the request has come in, is that we need to document so that we can come back to the table and emphatically say, yes, buyouts is the direction, is the approach that we recommend.
When is that emphatic yes take place?
2 years.
2 years. Okay.
Yeah. 2 years.
Could I ask how we, what analysis you did to decide to buy out the 5-year, the 94 structures in the 5-year, as opposed to 10 or 20? Was that just the frequency of previous flooding, or you knew that would be too many structures? How did you decide on the 5-year corridor instead of a larger corridor?
Yeah, it's based on a matter of frequency, as you laid out, obviously, and then the associated benefits that result from that buyout. So for every dollar invested by the federal government, is that calculation is input. The economic output that is derived from that helps to inform, do we have a viable project to move forward? So I'll call it economic justification. From an economic justification standpoint, the 5-year area was the area to look. Anything beyond or at a higher elevation, that you stepped into the 10-year or the 25-year location, just became unjustifiable.
Like I mentioned, the FEMA grants are available for this type of project, but the progress with using FEMA grants is much slower than a possible future reauthorization of federal funding with the cooperation of with collaboration with the U.S. Army Corps and to get it done. It cuts the time down to about half the length of time that would be needed for completing the project at hand. The scheme under which a reauthorization by the federal government and the partnership would work is I think a 35%, 65% type, which is the 35% local match, and 65% comes from the federal government. This is for the actual cost of the acquisition and the buyouts. So the next step, in a way, when the Army Corps came to us in February of this year, they told us that this study needs to be completed, and it costs $650,000 to complete it. Along with them in the same room was MSD, the planning manager, engineer of MSD. He said that MSD has a stormwater taxing district in University City, the responsible for this area, and they have this amount of funding available to pay for this study. However, they cannot pay the U.S. Army Corps directly. The city has to be the local sponsor. We pay for it, and we submit it to MSD as in the we can do it in the format of progress in a way progress payments. As we pay U.S. Army Corps, we can ask for reimbursement of the same from MSD. It's a 100% reimbursement. Doesn't require, at the end of the process, we will not have spent any money from our funds. One
Do we have that someplace in writing?
Yes, we have it in writing from MSD. I have a copy of that letter. I can provide it to you after the meeting if you'd like. And MSD's process works similar to ours. Their fiscal year starts in July of this year, and so their process includes submitting. Well, this is in their proposed budget, according to their letter. As we have already a proposed budget for our new fiscal year, they do as well. But, of course, this is still dependent on their board's approval of their proposed budget as a final budget for the next fiscal year. And they will take that step pretty much as soon as we commit to it with the U.S. Army Corps. And then they will propose it to finally propose it to their board for an approval for their new fiscal year starting in July. We heard from U.S. Army Corps also that this type of a study would take about 2 years to complete, and even to be able to start this after the letter offering contribution of funds in the amount of $650,000 to reflect the federal and non-federal share necessary for the completion of this report is provided to U.S. Army Corps. I think it takes about a year to get it started, the study started, because it's a long approval process, and it even requires congressional review and approval.
Probably one for Tina, but are we going to be tying up cash, the $650,000?
What was your question?
The question has to do with the $650,000. Is that going to be tied up for a while, or what's the time frame as far as reimbursement is concerned on something like this?
It's 2 years,
isn't it? Approximately 2 years, and I can, according to our accounting system, I can pay without showing as a city expenditure. Yeah. We can set that up.
Ms. Carr?
Yes, ma'am. So we currently have in our designated reserves $750,000 towards buyout. Will you be using that?
No, we're not going to touch that.
So if we move forward on this, we're not committing future councils to anything, correct? Because we'll have to see what the study says, to see what they recommend, and at a future council will decide. When you mentioned a 65-35% share, we're not committing anything for the future. And we're not saying now that we're definitely going to do what the Army Corps recommends.
That's correct.
Okay. Mr. Jennings?
And you stated that the payback would be 2 years, about 2 years. Now, does it start with the progress payments earlier? How soon can we start getting payback with the progress payments?
We can pay them and immediately turn them around and submit them to MSD. So it really doesn't need any commitment of funding by the city. Just the initial payment, similar to our other grants that we pay, and then we submit it to the grantor in this case, and they take, of course, about probably a month and a half to process it, and then they pay us pretty much within that time frame.
And this is from the end at 82nd Street, you said, from the end of the channel that was widened and concreted in, like, 10 years ago? Is that where it would start?
It includes some of the widened and concreted channel as well. The apartments, the Hafner Court apartments are right by there. And so where the Mandel Creek joins the main channel, about there, and that's the area, and downstream from there.
And Sinan, you mentioned Purdue at one point, but you also mentioned the Vernon, where it goes under Vernon. So does that take in all? It goes through the park, by the park, behind Dartmouth?
Yes. However, none of those properties are within the five-year area, so their frequency doesn't meet the economics studied for the acceptable benefit-cost ratio for this study.
If buyouts are recommended, you wouldn't be recommending along Dartmouth, and because those aren't in the five-year.
Primary area would be those that contain the actual residential structures.
Within this, also, we have one salt shed, probably, within the five-year area, and the study doesn't recommend that one. It needs to be addressed in some other way. Some institutional buildings are within the area because this includes a big portion of the Heman Park, but they are high enough above the base flood elevation, so they are not considered in this. So none of the Centennial Commons or the Heman Park structures are proposed. So stipulation is a change in the recent change of the U.S. Army Corps policy guidance for all future acquisition, relocation, and permanent evacuation recommendations for the Army Corps participation must include the option to use eminent domain and where warranted. This is a departure from our current, it is not currently within our policy. We have a flood buyout policy based on voluntary participation. So it is understood under an acceptance of this proposal that a mandatory buyout policy may need to be enacted by the city in the future if we go this route.
Is there a possibility that we could get a map for the five-year showing us the residential areas that will be affected?
Yes.
Okay.
So in the 11 by 17 map that's being passed around, it's those properties that are highlighted in green that would be encompassed within the five-year floodplain. And go ahead.
Other than the Hafner apartments and maybe one other, most of the structures are in Ward 2. Is that correct?
Ward 3 also, yes, Waldron properties are there. I have a list.
But as I'm looking at it, most
yes.
of these are
correct. That's the
Ward
list.
2. So this is the natural part, essentially the natural part of the River De Pere, the unconcreted banks.
Right by Mona Drive.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Sure. The list. Yes. Certainly. As I mentioned, the city will be responsible if the council authorizes the signing of the agreement, letter agreement with the U.S. Army Corps to pay for the cost of the study, and then MSD will participate along with University City to reimburse University City for the total cost of this study. This is my information for you to consider.
Ms. Carr?
Thank you. So on this map, there are, it looks like, three parcels that are noted in kind of a magenta color, and can you explain what those three parcels are?
Sure.
So I think one may be subject to the FEMA buyout, mm-hmm. and the others.
Yeah, seeing it, this was a map that you had mm-hmm. provided to me. So mm-hmm. as far as the magenta, I'm not fully aware where all of the monies that were leveraged through FEMA for the buyout purposes, but does that appear to coincide?
7901 Glenside Place is, yes, that was applied for the 2015 Flood Mitigation Assistance Buyout Program with the FEMA. 7901 Glenside Place, however, is also in the included list, included in the list of the U.S. Army Corps recommended properties, as well as the next two properties, 7915 and 7921. So I don't think there is any significance to the...
And the notation further south, well out of the structures, I didn't know what that was. Maybe it's not significant. I'm just trying to understand.
I'll find out,
okay.
Council member.
Any other questions? Mr. Walker?
Madam Mayor, members of the council, I think we'll provide copies of that information to all members of council and make it available to the public as well. Staff is not asking for a decision this evening, obviously. We're just providing this background information in the briefing from the gentleman from the Corps of Engineers and from the Director of Public Works. We will provide the map and the list of properties to all members of council and to the public as requested. And perhaps, depending upon the desire of council, schedule either another study session for council to make a decision with respect to whether to proceed or not. I think that the big difference, as the Director of Public Works pointed out, is the mandatory provision, which is different than previous buyouts that the city's engaged in, which have been voluntary.
Is there any time element with this?
Is there?
Since it takes a long time to get this approved by the federal government, the sooner the better, but mostly MSD wanted to know whether we would decide to do it because of their budget year and their approval for that.
So there is a time. There is a time element.
Yes.
With that time element, with the tax, and MSD's not here to explain it, but with that, the tax money that had been collected within this particular area, there was a statute of time as far as them being able to expend that for a capital project here in the community.
Okay, so we're essentially faced with the only major difference being eminent domain. And I can say that for my constituents, remaining in the floodplain is not someplace they want to be. And especially with the death of two of those residents, I couldn't say no because they're in harm's way. So that's not a problem for me.
So we're looking at about a year. If we give a go-ahead, we're looking about a year before the study really starts.
That's
and
correct.
Then about 2 years for the study. So at about 3 years, the Corps will come back.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah, the first year is for internal approval process.
Right.
This letter is really the first of many actions to take place. This request has to go to seek congressional approval, just bottom line. And then we'll be asked the same questions of Congress. Would this request commit or attempt to commit the federal government to any action?
Glickert?
Okay. Earlier, I mentioned something about we're getting water from some other place, and you said the other places are getting water from some other places too. This is an urban problem. So if we commit to this, is there a pecking order at the Congress level? To the effect of, we're going to get it or we're not going to get it?
would my response to that would be through good stewardship. When you look holistically across the federal resources, I mean, we're talking. There's been roughly 5 record floods over the past year. Just geographically point to it. This last flood to the south had roughly a million homes that were affected. So the flooding impacts continue to are not diminishing. Whatever that circumstance may be, and the resources are limited. What I would say is that you have the congressional authorization here. Upstream, there are no other congressional authorizations. So that's why I point to good stewardship. Whenever I use a higher, I had printed this off just in case, but it's a little bit of a hierarchy. It's small detail, and I should have printed it larger. But it talks about the way to reduce flood risk. And when you start to look at the base down here, it talks about zoning and building codes. And so when the Corps of Engineers talks about flood risk management as a shared responsibility, this is where Congress has made a formative decision. But then there's also a responsibility of the local government. The state governments are involved through their laws and regulations that they have in place, and then obviously the federal resources that can come either with direct congressional authorization for projects or through leveraging funds through grant programs like through FEMA. So I don't have a clear, defined answer for you other than stewardship, and it's a collective responsibility.
Okay. If there are no more questions, Ms. Karn?
So to me, this seems to have some kind of immediacy, at least before the budget for MSD. So can we consider this before MSD? Do we need additional meeting? I mean, before the budget for submission, I'd kind of like to get going quickly,
Mr.
at least
Walker?
To consider it.
Well, I think that's dependent upon the wishes of council. I think that you should have a list of properties along with the additional map, and then council can make a decision. Hopefully that can happen within the next couple of weeks.
Thank you.
We'll adjourn for 15 minutes, then readjourn, and remind everyone we're lauding our colleague after the meeting tonight, Mr. Arthur Sharp Jr. I'm going to run downstairs.
It's a good thing you didn't go on the elevator.
Yes.
Wednesday.